You've seen the stories. 27-year-old pays off $72,000 in 7 months. Or this Ventura, California couple paid off $200,000 in 13 months. You're so excited for them, but with each story, it makes you wonder why your slow and steady financial work doesn't get as much play in the media. I began thinking about the elevation of financial unicorns in media when talking to someone that I know very well. And basically, they said something that really concerned me. I had noticed that they'd internalized this idea that everyone meets their financial goals faster than they really do, and that financial unicorns were the norm. And it was really frustrating because this person had worked really hard for years to meet their financial goals. And it felt like they didn't believe what they did was good enough. It took everything in my soul not to scream in frustration at the normalization of what isn't the norm. And I had to record an episode about this because I think it's so dangerous, it's very demoralizing, and it keeps large numbers of people from cleaning up their debt, growing their income, or even believing that their financial goals are even worth working towards. I've actually lost track of the number of people who've said, but I'm in my 40s. It's too late for me. They did it when they were 32. I'm so over it. And now it's time for me to share why. Let's talk about the financial unicorns and why the elevation of their stories is both a very good and very bad area of focus in money media. Don't forget to grab the following resource, How to Achieve Your Next Financial Goal. Are you working on paying off debt, earning more, or creating a first-time savings? Watch the following video with Michelle's tips on how she paid off over $60,000 in debt, grew her income, and finally began saving. She shares what she would have done differently and what you should avoid too. For those who don't know, I am blocked by Dave Ramsey on Twitter. The funny thing about this is I discovered said blockage during a time when I was a super fan of his. I was a huge fan of Dave Ramsey's for many years, but I wrote a blog post about something that I noticed that bothered me that he was doing, and his team, or him, they didn't like it. Basically, I wanted to know why a rich white guy, he got all the things, right? Rich, white, and a guy. Why he was so damn angry with the people he was serving. I basically said that there were people he could be serving, but that he's so mean, he was repelling people from him as a resource, like people who could really benefit from his teachings. This was also the same time when I had to stop listening to his show regularly because I would get so wound up towards the end of the episode and I would be angry. I would listen to his show every single day. Like I would listen to all the debt screams. I would listen to him talking to people. I just was obsessed. And I began to notice that my energy after taking in his content, I was always angry. It just put me in that space. And so I had to break up with Dave Ramsey. I actually will share a link to the show that I did about that or the post that I did about that because I had to let him go because I couldn't exist at that energetic vibration level. God, that sounds so hippie, but it's true. Like you can't, people who exist in anger all the time, especially when they don't need to, It's not sustainable and it makes no sense. Personal finance unicorn content has left me basically feeling the same way recently. And I say this as a person who's paid off a significant amount of debt, who's changed my financial life, who's helped other people, who's been inspired by that content. And now I'm just so turned off by it. And I'm going to share why. I'm just kind of over it. And even though I love the stories, they have one thing in common for a lot of people that's problematic. They are a distraction from stories like mine and others which are still just as valid. The slow and steady financial journey that honestly feels like the perfect Gen X money story. We exist. Do we even exist in matter? But anyway, the slow and steady financial goals community exists. And that community and that space is so valid. And I would argue that most people who are in the financial spaces that I'm in, who are creating content like the kind of content that I do, their journey was slow and steady, one step in front of the other, one financial lesson after the other, learning financial tools for the first time. So it's really frustrating because I feel like these amazing stories don't share or tell the full picture of what it's like to clean up your finances in a country like the United States, where everything is set up so that you won't. You're put down for using cash. In fact, even before the pandemic, because clearly after the pandemic, everyone's skeeved out. You don't want to touch cash. But before, people would be like, well, I never touch cash. I never use cash. I use my cards. But it was weird because I like using cash. It's paid for. It's done. And after years and years of paying off debt because I used credit badly, because I didn't understand it as a tool, I have a deep respect for the notion that you pay the money that you have for what it is that you want and you don't go into debt for it. But here, it's like everything is set up so you go into debt. The perfect example of this, actually, I was talking to my mom last night and I was like, Apple is brilliant. Apple was just valued at like $2 trillion. I think it's the first American company or company to ever hit that valuation. And for those of you who know me, you know I fuss about Apple because they have so many upsells within their technology model. And I'm going to give you an example of just one area of what they do, because I was looking at it, because right now my MacBook Pro is, it's got maybe another 9 months that I could use it regularly because it's starting to slow down. I've had these products, so I know kind of how it goes. And anyway, my keyboard broke and the F and A keys are gone. The T key is about to pop off. And I was like, I can't even use my laptop because the keyboard is broken and I could either take it in, lose days of work and have them replace the keyboard, which I did not want to do because it would be like a $700 or $800 fix easily. Or I discovered Apple's fix for it, which is the Magic Keyboard. I'm not going to lie, this thing's kind of magical. So I went in and for $100, I bought what basically what's an upsell, the Magic Keyboard. But before I went in to buy the Magic Keyboard, I went online and started looking at Mac products, and I'm looking around and I was curious about how their financing works. Like for some reason, I'm like, let's go down the rabbit hole. I don't own an iPhone. I'm still team Android. I pay $35 a month. I paid cash for that phone. I'm good. So I'm looking at Apple and I noticed that they have a credit card. I figured that they would. And I look at the terms of the credit card, how they have it set up, and it's freaking brilliant from a company's standpoint. Because I've been thinking, how do these people, all these people, afford these products? I pay cash for mine, but a lot of people, the majority, do not. And I'll tell you how it works. So people with an Apple phone, with an iPhone, can access the Apple Card app within the Apple Store, App Store. They can request the card and they can either get a card that allows them to pay installments for products, or they're granted a certain amount of credit and then they can kind of go from there. Now think about this. You have to have the iPhone in order to even be eligible for this card. So that's step number one. Step number two, you have to use their store, their app store, to even access the app in order to apply for the card. So Apple is smart because they've already pre-qualified you as a customer and as a potential cardholder for their products. So they get you to get the card. You start paying installments for these products. You pay more because that's how installments work. I have products where I have subscription service. You pay more for the subscription than you would for the one-time payout. Like if you just paid for it in cash in full, you pay less than you do for the subscription model, which is basically what they're doing with these credit cards. And then if you default or you have any problems, then obviously you get charged more for that too. So you've got all these people who are pre-qualified. They pretty much have an idea how much you make, what your finances are like, and then you're able to get your MacBook Pro on credit, you get your cell phone on credit, you get your Apple Watch on credit. It's brilliant, but it also speaks to the idea of this is the easier way to do a thing versus what I do, which for a lot of people is really hard. But now that I've paid cash for everything I think I've paid cash for everything since 2012, easily. One, because all my cards got closed down. So I could have applied for new cards, but I was just like, that's just not where I'm at anymore. I'm not there anymore. I'm not excited about that. Doesn't mean that I'm anti-credit card, by the way, for those of you who will email me or go on social media and do that thing that credit card people do and they get all in their feelings. I don't care that you use credit cards. I'm just saying this is a business model. It's brilliant and that people need to be aware of it. So anywho, I share that story just to say how things are set up here. It's to discourage people for paying in full and paying for things in cash if it's a bigger purchase. It's just, and also people don't have impulse control for the most part. And right now you can't even use your mileage points because Americans in particular can't go anywhere. We have literally only 15 countries that will let us travel to them at this point in time. And honestly, I don't see that changing for at least until March. Anywho, I digress. So I'm going to share my financial journey. I'm not even going to share the whole thing. I'm going to talk about starting from 2012, just to give you an idea of why I'm irritated by this financial unicorn worship. Okay, so I began my personal finance journey in 2012. That's when I started writing my blog. That's when I first started attending financial conferences. So I had, this incredible financial mess on my hands. And I was reading people's stories about their financial journeys. And it was so powerful because I learned I wasn't the only person out there struggling with money. I had well over 30 bills that I owed. Like I had so much debt, so many things going on. The majority were in collections or about to be. I literally was in a constant state of financial fear and overwhelm, as you could imagine. Every single day, literally every single day, I would get numerous text messages, emails, letters, and calls, usually from the same collector about my debt. Seriously, every single day. So imagine having 30 plus bills and they deploy all four of those collection processes every day against you, every single day. So I would come home and I would just pull out letter after letter after letter of collections letters. I would go online to my email and I would just look at their emails. Then I'd look at my phone and call after call after call would be, and you could be working with them on a payment plan, they'll still call you, right? So I had payment plans and stuff and people were still calling me from the companies that I arranged the plans for. I was just exhausted. This was my life for many, 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 many years, okay? Despite all that, I was like, I'm going to do something about this. I need to start somewhere. So one penny, nickel, dime, quarter, dollar, $5 at a time, I'm just slowly but surely paying on my debt and cleaning it up. And it's the most freaking messy process ever. So you get these financial people, these bloggers and vloggers, and they're like, I had this perfect Excel spreadsheet. I had this app. I had this. And I was like, that's not what mine looked like. I had a paper and then I had a Google spreadsheet and I just would work through it. And sometimes it was a little inaccurate. Sometimes it was accurate. Sometimes I would just pay what energetically made me feel the most stressed out. Sometimes I would pay what was the most urgent. Sometimes it just, everything depended and was a lot more emotion driven than I think people ever want to share about money and their financial journey. In fact, I was watching Eco Challenge Fiji this week on Amazon Prime Video, and the journey for the teams, that challenge is brutal. No one was left without injuries, scars, or bruises from their journey. And ultimately, just finishing was the most important thing. And the focus was on the journey. So I would say that my financial experience is totally like that. I am bruised, beaten, battered, tired, worn out, have financial PTSD. I'm not even joking about this. And that doesn't invalidate my journey because I didn't do everything in 14 months. Okay. I've stalled out on my journey. I've sped up and I've also stopped at times, more times than I would like to admit. When I shared my story, I would sometimes feel like a complete loser and feel embarrassed that I hadn't finished my journey yet. I was really wrong to think this because I didn't understand that my small wins mattered, not only just to me, but to other people. And it mattered to my wallet. In 2020, we experienced a freaking pandemic. All of my episodes from this year have that phrase in it, a freaking pandemic. Who would have thunk it? And as I sat in my house for 3 freaking months, I just thought, what if I hadn't slowly worked towards cleaning up my financial situation starting in 2012? What if I just was like, my journey is not as sexy as other people, or there's no value in the slow and steady approach? I would not be in my home right now with basically everything paid off. I wouldn't. Because it took time to get to this point. It took a lot of time and a lot of self-doubt and a lot of self-care and a lot of conversations and blog posts that I read and vlogs that I watched and books that I read and conversations with people. Like, it took a lot of work. I wish that people could see that financial journeys aren't always sexy. In fact, most of them typically are not. I've paid off thousands and thousands of dollars of debt and I've changed my life. It really didn't hit me how profoundly things had changed until I sat in my home during a pandemic, getting passive income payouts, looking at my budget, not needing money from the government, and just enjoying my stack of toilet paper without feeling financially stressed. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with needing help from the government because you paid taxes to get that help. 2 years before, I would have needed the help, no doubt about it. But my point is, I'd taken this long, windy, loop-de-loop approach to taking care of everything, but I worked on it and it allowed me to have a different experience financially during this time. It's taken me 8 freaking years. 8. But in an 80, 90, or 100 year life, those 8 years are nothing. And that's the point I want to make. In the grand scheme of a well-lived long life, those 8 years are nothing. I focused on a goal. I focused on it for freaking years. The process wasn't sexy. It was actually a hot mess. And then I complicated the process by working for myself. I am not a financial unicorn. I'm living the story that I've heard from a number of people that I know in the personal finance space. So I'm again going to share how the journey looked for me. I'm going to give you a little more insight just so we're clear. I set a goal. Life happened and I got off track. I started again. I got pushed off course again. Then I got focused. A relative or a friend needed help, so I helped. I decided to go on vacation to re-energize, which was good. And I paid cash, but obviously it slowed down the pace. People judged everything that I was doing. I knew, people know. You know when people are judging you. You keep going. I felt embarrassed because I was in the personal finance space and haven't gotten this shit done. Oh, look, a new bill has shown up. I accidentally restarted collections on debt that had aged out because the stress of dealing with these people, I'll never forget that experience. Then I got a summons to go to court for not one, but 3 fucking debts during the same year. 3. It was like every 3 months I would get a summons. Not realizing that I could have fought the validity of the bill in court. Like in court, I could have been like, sir, Mr. Judge, Ms. Judge, that bill is well past time period for which I am liable for this bill. Like I could have argued that and I didn't even realize that I could. And sitting in the courtroom, I was in there with so many black and brown faces. And it was really upsetting. There were a few white people, but considering that I live in a very white town, it was shocking, actually. And I felt like God wanted me to see this. And that was that year when all that happened, that reaffirmed my mission to help people with money. I'll never forget sitting three times in the court to negotiate these little payment plans on these freaking bills and seeing all these people who looked like me in there. And it's not to say that they are bad with money. Maybe they didn't have the tool. Maybe they lost a job. Like, I wanted to know their story without judgment. I am not a unicorn. My story is just as valid and just as important to share. During a time when millions of Americans are looking at imminent financial disaster and stress, I feel like this message really needs to be heard more. You need to hear this. You can do this. It might take longer than you would like. Even the smallest step is moving in the right direction, like the smallest little thing that you do. I was afraid too. Rest when you need it. It's okay to be proud of the unicorns and love their stories. And it's 100% okay not to be one. Unicorns are unicorns for a reason.